Já sei.
Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watcher for Jesus program. Sorry, I'm running a little bit late today. I had to go out of town. I just got back just a few minutes ago. So I'm starting a little bit late today. I kind of broke in on the 24-hour loop that I have going on. This is live. I am live. I'm not dead yet. I'm very much alive. And here we go. Family, last night in the Bible study, I talked about racism and discrimination and prejudice and all that stuff that's controversial and how it relates to the Bible. It was a Bible study, so that's what I did. And how it really relates in God's Word and what God's really looking at, not what man's looking at, but what God sees racism and prejudice and discrimination and all that stuff that the Jesuits and the Freemasons and Knights of Malta and the Illuminati have come up with. Yeah. As a weapon, that's what's really going on, actually. That's the whole story of what's happening today. It's not spontaneous. It's pre-planned, and I'll show you that. I can probably foresee that today will be, well, part two. And then tomorrow, I can see going into it again tomorrow, more than likely. But then again, it's a very complicated subject, this thing called racism. I'm going to put another perspective to it that you maybe not be expecting. But then what else is new, right? And so I want to get started here. And bear with me, but I'm going to break it open. I'm going to show you what's really going on. And what's really going on today is not what the news is telling you, but then again, what else is new? But it's more than that. It's way more than that. You see, because the whole idea of all of this is a new world order. It's not about Ferguson, Brown, Bundy Ranch, none of that. That's only a means to an end. That's all those are. Opportunities they seek to try and control. That's all they're doing. And they're using us all as pawns. Now, I've listed the names before. The Illuminati, the Italian Illuminati. And all the Jesuits that's linked up. You know, the Jesuits are against the Roman Catholic Church. You understand this, right? These are facts. That the Jesuits are there to destroy the Roman Catholic Church and in the right time. It's a very complex operation that's going on today. And they're counting on none of you figuring it all out or connecting the dots. That's what they're counting on. And it's working. Because it gets you against each other, fighting each other, angry at each other. They drum up old wounds so you don't forget the past, so you won't look into the future. Is that not what we do with each other and individually as well? We go back to the past, and that's what Satan does. He convicts you of the past, how bad you were, what you did wrong, and then start dragging you down again. Isn't that what the people do to each other in marriages and other things? They say, well, you know what you did last year? Yeah, I'll never forget, you know, to get control over you. That's how they do it. Well, Satan is influencing people. And the people that's allowing it to happen are guilty as much as he is. You can't take the stance, well, the devil made me do it, so I'm not responsible. No, you are responsible. You're allowing it to happen, you see. So you can't fall back on the devil made me do it and I'm not responsible. No. No, it's not that easy. It don't work that way. We're heading into, they're testing, and they're really going all a Hail Mary pass for a population control with a racial war or distraction. Since Bundy Ranch didn't work with a patriotic card, the white folk wouldn't shoot at each other. So they had to turn whites against blacks and blacks against whites. They tried it in the 1960s, tried it in the 1990s. Americans are in an apathetic stage of the 8-stage program of 250 years. Oh, yeah. So they got to find a common enemy to galvanize the cultures to come together and then fight each other. Social engineers work this out at the elite level. Tavistock, Bilderberg, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, those murderers. And I can say that, not bat an eye. You go to Arlington Cemetery, you look at the section of World War II veterans and Korean veterans that have died in that war. Oh, it's not counting the civilians. And then you go downtown D.C. and stand in front of the Council of Foreign Relations building, and you have found the culprit. Put those graves full of bodies at the Council of Foreign Relations. And your Joint Chief of Staff are right there with them. Right in bed. Absolutely. No question about it. There's your culprits. And this goes the same for Europe, Russia, China, the whole doggone lot of them. All the leaders are not for their citizens. They're for the New World Order. They're for the atheistic materialism, the secret societies work together at the highest level against the citizens of this world. And that's a fact. That's not speculation or some kind of commentary. I'm stating you facts. And unless you know the real enemy, you will forever be chasing your tail around in a circle and wonder why you can't catch your tail. And that's exactly what they got people doing. I try to break that distraction in my little world here. And I may not have, 15,000 listeners, but I do what I can with what I have. I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. I got a website, watchmanforjesus.com. And I got my own little network acquired in a certain way. Of course, there's people that know that story. God works in funny ways, don't he? Family, I want to dedicate the broadcast. And then I've got some things put together, but a lot of this is going to be ad hoc as well. And hopefully to you, it'll appear to be organized. To explain to you a very complex but extremely controversial subject about racism, that they're using racism, feminism, patriotism, every ism that you can think of, they've been using to bring us stage by stage to a new world order by the elite. Let's get with it. Lord, we come today and thank you, Lord, for bringing us together once again. Father, in this broadcast and Bible studies you've given us, Lord, we lift up to you and dedicate this program to your service, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. While we pray for an awakening in this country to the truth about who the enemy really is, we pray, Lord, you'll guide us today and protect us with the blood of Jesus. And, Father, to keep those demons away, keep our bodies healthy, that, Father, we can spread your gospel. Father, we pray for those that we prayed for in the past, for the healing, for bringing families together, and protecting those that are seeking your face, and the new Christians, Lord, that are being pulled back and forth, that, Lord, you'll be there to protect them, set divine appointments to give them that guidance they need to strengthen their faith and get closer to you. We pray for an awakening in these churches to bring the watchmen out of these churches, that they can speak and wake up these pastors and wake up these rabbis and wake up these priests and pull them away from these corrupted churches and from these corrupted Bibles they have, Lord, and bring in that King James Bible, Lord, and bring it up and bring true watchmen out, true pastors and preachers and those that's really going to preach the word not controlled by Satan's methods. But to give them courage to step away from the Freemasons. And Father, to touch the Freemasons of those that have the heart that's on that fence. That Lord, they'll renounce that blood oath. Convict them with divine appointments. That they'll pull out of these secret societies. We pray, Lord, for a coming together of this nation. Under the name of Jesus. And Father, for the anointing of your servants to preach the true word of God. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
click
this,
the button to get started.
Whoa. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I tell you, when you get closer to the truth, you'll find, in a certain way, supernatural things happening. You'll find you becoming distracted. You'll find even family members that go to church with you will find ways, and they won't even realize it, they won't even know it, of trying to get you off track, but they won't be doing it by themselves. It'll be something coming up every time, every single time. Something. And the only way it happens is when you're getting close to the truth and you have a way of making waves, a way of making a point. Or he sees a power coming out of you, Satan does. He's trying to figure a way to distract you. He knows your weaknesses. But he doesn't know the future. He doesn't know what God already knows. There are those, I've talked to them, not personally, but through writing or phone or whatever. I'm doing fine without God. I don't need God, you need him because you're weak. Really? I can do fine without God. I'm doing really good now. Well, what they don't realize is it's not them. If someone's doing well but staying away from God, Satan will give them reward. You see? That's how he works. As long as they're away from God, and they're happy in their own little world, but they're not worshiping God, and they're successful, this is Satan's world right now. He'll back them up. But here's the catch. When he's done with them, he's going to pull that carpet, and there's nowhere they're going to fall but down. God don't do that. He chases those he loves, makes you strong by adversity. But he'll always be there when you fail, or if you fall by your own free will. He'll prop you up when you call upon him. Satan won't do that. Let me give you an exact example. And this is a fact, family. And look it up on your own while I'm talking if you want to. The Ouija board. Family, that's just like a 9mm weapon. It will kill your children. Now you're thinking, this is going over the edge. My pink Ouija board will kill my child? Absolutely. Because you see, when you do the Ouija board, like you do a seance, you go to a fortune teller, you go to do the tarot cards, all this stuff, you're given permission to the supernatural world to act. By you going to the tattoo parlor, by you going to a Freemason organization, or you go into a seance, you go into a tarot card, whatever. You're going to them. You're giving permission to those demonic entities to act by you going there, by you doing it. When that happens, the veil of protection gets real thin around you. God said, okay, he backs up. Satan fills the vacuum. That's how it works. So you'll have influences. Well, in the Ouija board, you're going to the Ouija board. They say, oh, let's have fun. Let's play. Okay, all right. So let's start playing it. And what happens in the Ouija board, when they all get into it, the knees come together and the hands go on that little triangular doohickey thing, that sucker starts moving after a while. Because everybody's all in. Listen now, like in holidays, like in rituals, like in witchcraft, Everybody's in unison on that little board with those symbols. And the symbols, as I've talked about before, symbols, colors, smells, candles, with ritual added to it, then has a change of frequency vibration, drawing those demons to your position, just like the drums do. That's what drums are for. Now, you don't believe me? You better look it up. You better look it up. The Bible specifically tells you in Psalms 150, I believe, of what musical instruments. It's all based on frequency vibration that you can't detect. But the demons can in the second heaven, the second dimension, the second world that you can't see. The unseen world, the principalities, powers of darkness. They're there. Family, it's not just a scripture in the Bible. It's telling you something. So, the little symbols, your energy together, wanting to communicate with that demon. And let me tell you, that's not Aunt Martha you're talking to. It draws those demons to that board. And your energy, your human energy, giving permission for them to act, will allow them to act. What do you mean allow them as opposed to what? Because God's Spirit keeps them back. God's Spirit keeps them back. But when you act on it, God's Spirit's not there. Because you have turned away from God. Okay, so here's what happens. And I know this has happened. I've seen it. I've seen this. Adults, children. And they know your life. They don't know the future. There's no future travel and all that stuff. It's just a lie. But they know your life. They know what your fears, your desires, your lust. They know what that is. They don't know your heart. They just know what they see. And they know how to get to you. So when you give them permission, and that thing starts moving around, and starts talking to you. It comes to children as children. And has names like children. And it pulls them in. You see, and the point of the matter is not about racism. But the point of the matter is, there's a supernatural world out there that's using racism, for example, as a method. As a demon spirit of racism. Of aggression. Of anger, of lust, of hate. These are demons. These are demons. And a way to get to you is by these methods. And when that demon comes into your house, you're going to have to be delivered. You have to extricate that demon out of that house, and no priest is going to be able to do it. Not in the long term. Only the power of Jesus. But that spirit of racism, there is a spirit of racism. Oh, I know that sounds hokey. I know. But when you get together in a march in a of that nature with an attitude, on whatever side, there's a spirit of patriotism. They use patriotism. It's a movement. All the isms represent a movement. And every single one of them, and can be traced, was formed by the Vatican, by the Jesuits, to galvanize groups against each other. That's the only purpose. The supernatural realm works with this. You see how it works? So back to, I don't want to leave you hanging there. The Ouija board, when your children get addicted to it, they end up having a little friend, imaginary friend. Well, that imaginary friend will come to them as a child for a while. And then at some point in time, it's no longer fun. Your child starts getting into Wicca, starts changing their clothing, starts changing their attitude. The grades go down, friends change. It's caused many a suicide. Drugs lead to suicide. They start a self-destruct. Dungeons and Dragons, video games, all that. When they say cursed, it's simply a way of saying that the demonic entities follow that game, follow that song. And John Todd confirms this. He used to be in the Illuminati, and they murdered him for revealing a lot of these secrets. It's frequency vibration. Well, back to racism. Racism is another one. And it works. Nobody goes to God. Martin Luther King changed. He started off in a socialist, communist manner. That's what racism is on both sides. And Martin Luther King said, wait a minute, hold on now. Hold on. Something's not right here. He pulled away from the Jesse Jacksons, Boulay Society. You see, the white man's got the Freemasonry. It goes back, past the 1700s, all back to Europe. They brought to America, set up Freemasonry, making sure that none of them, except certain ones in the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, some of them, Shriners, don't get past 33rd degree. Well, a lot of American, 90%, won't get past the 13th degree. The European Freemasonry will always remain in control. Well, Freemasonry was married to the Illuminati in 1782 to Congress Wilhelmsbad. A lot of Freemasons don't know that. So Illuminati got control of Freemasonry to use them, every one of them, whether they know it or not, as pawns in their game. And what they're going to do, promise you, and guaranteed, and written down, documented, they're going to kill every Freemason on the rolls when the Great White Brotherhood has total control. They will kill them. It is documented. It's in their agenda. And you can read it in chapter 15 of the protocols. It's all there. And there's no stopping that. But the Freemasons don't realize this. They don't know it. They don't look into it. It will happen. But they will use them up to that point. This is what's been going on in our history since the day this country was ever founded. Under good intentions, but always, always. Ben Franklin was one of the most evil men in the world. He was a hellfire club, sacrifice of children. Everything I'm telling you is substantiated. I just don't have time to give you all the details right now, and you can find it out anyway on your own. If I can find it, you can. You just got to let go and go search it out. Now, the Freemasons are all behind this. Now, what I want to do is get down to this part about the racism before I run out of time, because I got a lot to cover. I'm not going to go the details, I don't think, yet, about really how far this goes. I want to talk about racism today and see how far I get to break it open for you. And more than likely tomorrow, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to tell you how far this really goes back. It's going to shock you. You see, racism was, according to George Brittman, racism was originated to justify and preserve a slave labor system. When? Well, specifically in 1613. America was always to be the melting pot of the world for a much bigger purpose. Since the 11th century. You see, you got to understand something. These Illuminati families carry this New World Order as a family tradition that will span generations upon generations and hundreds of years, literally passing it from one child to the next, to the next, to the next, because they are controlled by the supernatural. They're slaves themselves of Lucifer, but they're paid slaves. They're given rewards, position of power. Did not Satan offer this to Jesus Christ in the desert? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down. Family, that hasn't stopped. Since Jesus didn't take him on his offer, and according to Scripture made him run away, the human counterparts, they have. That's what's really going on today, family. The humankind took up where Jesus left off and rejected the offers of Satan. Mankind has not. Because they don't believe in God. And yet they believe in Lucifer? Isn't that kind of odd, don't you think? Well, on the supernatural level. Family, they do child sacrifice. You want to know where your children are going? Out of 750,000 that's missing on the average, 500,000 they never find. 250,000 a year they locate some way. Well, that still leaves 500,000 plus. Family, Satan takes those children by death, sacrifice, sexual rituals, things you can't even imagine. I know that's bad to talk about and all that, but you got to know. See, Satan's world system includes the commerce and politics, religion, education, entertainment, every bit of it, world kingdoms, holidays, world organizations, many other things. And through the world system, Satan will offer people power and riches, possessions, worldly honors like Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel was Illuminati. Rhodes Scholars. Cesar Rhodes was Illuminati. Intellectual achievement, social prestige, all kinds of sinful pleasures. Just about anything they want. And just like the Ouija board, when he's done with them, they will lose everything. And their souls will go to hell. And that will happen. But until then, he placates them. I'm giving you only one part of his game. And this only one is racism. Another one was feminism. Communism. In fact, you see how it works? This is only racism. And you can only do that when you have another culture infused into another culture. That's why you got Arabs infused up there in Scandinavia and Sweden. The United States, man, is a smorgasbord of conflict. Oh, yeah, just pick your, take your pick. But up in Sweden, they couldn't find anything. So they brought the Arabs up there. What Arab, in his right mind, is going to go from an environment he lives in Saudi Arabia or wherever, where he's used to camels and dates and, you know, whatever else. And he's going to go to Scandinavia on his own? Alhamdulillah. Fatima, I'm going to Scandinavia to live. It's like Mohammed. You lost your mind, boy? What are you going up there for? There are no camels up there. But I'm being paid to go. You see what I mean? Yeah. And they form gangs up there to attack the women and to set in the middle of the street, do their prayers, to upset the ritual of whatever country it is, to cause conflict. Out of chaos comes order. But right now, they're going to make Islam look bad. Because that will cause a conflict. Out of conflict, then you come in to establish a control. If everybody up there, they went up there to work together, there's nothing to work for. There's nothing to way to control them. Because everybody's working together. Mohammed's going to find a little cold up there, but you know that the Swedish people are going to help them. So there's nothing to work for. There's no way to control them. So we must cause conflict to establish laws and rules and regulations. That's how it works. So racism plays right into that role like a hook, line, and sinker. Man, we fall for it every doggone time, too. When are y'all going to learn? Man, when are you going to learn? Step back and don't hug the tree, but climb the tree to look over the forest and see the whole picture. I give you the principle. I'll confirm it for you. The principles, the strategies found in a textbook that you all think is a nice little book of fiction. Interesting reading by a witch named Ayn Rand. One that Ron Paul even follows, and Rand Paul or Paul Taylor or whatever, I can't remember the fellow's name, the other one. They all follow Ayn Rand because they're all Luciferian pretending to be on your side. Vladimir Lenin said, "The best way to control the opposition, that be us, is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you'll have repression and a dictatorship by consent. The best way to control the opposition, and that's us, white folk, black folk, Hispanic folk, Chinese folk, and in between. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and dictatorship by consent." Works every time. So Ayn Rand wrote Atlas Shrugged in 1957. That, my friends and family, is a textbook of the Illuminati, like the Signs of Christ by Harold Balliot. They put their textbooks out there for their people to get. You see, if you don't know that, Morals and Dogma, Tragedy and Hope, Atlas Shrugged, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliot. These are textbooks, and they're truthful. Atlas Shrugged is a fiction, but the principles are exactly the ones they use. Put in fictional storyline so you won't draw a conclusion or association. They put a lot of these in TV movies and TV weekly shows, the drama and all that. A lot of it is there to manipulate you. Well, they use Hollywood. Actors all about. John Wayne was a Freemason. The Clint Eastwood was a Freemason. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans were Freemasons, Eastern Star. Abbott Costello. Sammy Davis Jr. Frank Sinatra, they all belong to the River Rats, which was a Masonic club for entertainers, songwriters, and dancers. That's why they call them the Rat Pack, because they belong to the Masonic club. The Mafia belong to Freemasons. They're under a blood oath. Your president of the United States, your congressman, your so-called military leaders at the CFR, admirals and generals, or Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, Freemasons, family in the thousands. That's their loyalty, not America. Their pretend loyalty is to fall behind the patriotic, "But I am American. I've been an American soldier for so long. I was in Vietnam and I did this and did that." But he's a blood oath to a Knights of Malta. He's a liar. Because his oath tells him to lie. Atlas Shrugged gives you a principle of what I'm talking about making the laws, about how to control people. She says in the dialogue, quote, "There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals." Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible to live without breaking the laws. But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers, and then you cash in on the guilt. Now that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with. Unquote. You see, Ayn Rand was a mistress to Philip Rothschild, and she was tasked by the Illuminati to write the playbook for the World Revolutionary Plan and put it in the fictional book form. But in reality, it's exactly their textbook that's establishing a world government, using fictional characters and storyline, but true to the actual strategy. Now, that all being said, racism is just one small part with a big impact. Racism in this country was set up beginning of the year 1492. They had to bring all the races here. And this was the purpose of Columbus setting sail. Because the second culture was a white man. Third culture was the blacks in 1613 under the slavery. Family, the big plan was to finally bring a civil war, free the blacks, which they never really did, and then start intermingling and then cause everybody to fight each other. Order out of chaos. Family, this plan is bigger than you can imagine. Racism. Did you know what you weren't told? That the Reverend Richard Allen, black man, was founder of America's first black denomination? Did you know that the Reverend Henry Holland Garnett was the first African American to deliver a sermon to Congress? Did you know that Reverend Hiram Rhodes Revels was the first black U.S. Senator? Yeah. Did you know that Joseph Hayne Rainey, he was the first African American elected to the U.S. Congress? Did you know that Jefferson Franklin Long, he was the first African American to give a speech in U.S. House? And John Rock, the first African American admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar. And John Roy Lynch, first African American to preside over a national political convention. And the Reverend Frederick Douglass, the first African American to be appointed to office in four different presidential administrations. Did you know? They kept all that from you, didn't they? I want to reveal a lot the next 2-3 days. Some of you are going to be happy, some of you are not. Some of you are happy yesterday, won't be happy when I get done. But I hope to make everybody happy to an extent, because you should be happy when you learn something. And then, I don't want you to believe anything I tell you. I want you to challenge everything I say. Challenge everything. You find out yourself. The spread of knowledge is a wonderful thing. But the spread of lies is a deadly thing. I just made that up. See, racism was originated to justify, preserve a slave labor system. It operated in the interest of capitalism in the pre-industrial stages. And, by the way, it was retained to modify form by industrial capitalists. Let's call them what they are, Illuminati. Because after, and Freemasons, after slavery became an obstacle to the further development of capitalism, had to be abolished. Few things in the world are more stamped with the mark of capitalism. Capitalism was designed to control people, control the money. You control the people and the government. Now, that's where the labor, union organizations come from, mafia, Jesuits, to control the people. Under the guise, it's for your own good. But pay us. Somebody gets out of hand, they just kill him. Make him disappear. You know, it's common knowledge that even among conservative circles in the labor-type movement that racism, it benefits the interests of the capitalist class and injures the interests of the working class. What's not known, and it still comes surprise to many of the Marxists, should be better known to the fact that racism is, well, pretty much uniquely capitalist phenomena. Whether or not it did not exist or no perceptible influence in pre-capitalist society before the 16th century. But you know that today's modern scholars have traced racism back to African slave trade and the slave system introduced in the Americas by the Rothschilds. $16.13 for tobacco. Those who profited from the enslavement of the blacks, slave traders and merchant capitalists, first of Europe and then of America and then the slaveholders, they required a rationalization and a moral justification for kind of an old or archaic social institution. Flouted the relativity enlightened principle proclaimed by capitalist society in a struggle against feudal system. They got rid of the feudal system in Japan in the 1870s. But at the same time that they turned our military against the Indians. Simultaneously, that was Illuminati Rothschild design. Against the samurai warrior, get rid of the feudal system in Japan, to use them as a buffer, as a club against the Russians in 1904. They had to start 30 years ahead of time. And they did. And it worked. To industrialize Japan was the carrot. In the American plain after the Civil War, the Fabians decided to move the Indians out of their land. Oh, heck, I'm going to say that again. Decided to move the Indians out of their land. They were indigenous to America. White folk, you're indigenous to Europe. So what you white folk doing over here in America? Why did my gamble Irish and Scottish descent, why'd they move from a nice comfortable living in Europe to America? Well, it wasn't quite comfortable. Because in the year 1200 A.D., about 200 years before Columbus set sail. Around 1200 A.D., the Vatican started murdering people in Europe in the millions. By the time 1800 A.D., from 1200 A.D., got around, the Vatican had murdered, just in the Inquisition, 50 to 68 million people. That ain't counting St. Bartholomew Massacre. That's not counting the wars. That's just the Inquisition. So by the year 1400, 1500, Man, us white folk in Europe, our families, are getting tired of getting killed, having their property stolen, tortured by the Vatican. So we're getting out of here, man. We're leaving. What? Well, this guy named Columbus. We're out of here, man. We're gone. They can have it. That's why Martin Luther, who was a Jesuit in disguise, had to form a movement, a religion, to give them courage to leave. Yeah. John Calvin and Martin Luther, 95 Theses. Follows four major steps. There's eight total. You put the culture in bondage. You make up, design, or use a cultural religious faith or movement, which will give them courage. And number four, independence. Those four steps. Takes about a century. They can escalate it, or they can de-escalate it. They can speed it up or slow it down. They control the culture that way by using dialectics, instances. In this case, the bondage was religious intolerance. And the religion was Protestantism, Protestantism. That's why John Martin Luther was working behind the scenes. He wasn't the good guy you thought. John Calvin and him worked with the Vatican behind the scenes and secretly. They established that second stage called a movement or religion. That was the first stage of racism. So to get control, you got rationalizations, and black slavery was profitable also. So let's bring the third culture over, second culture actually, the blacks. And that's how that began. Those who profited from the enslavement of the blacks, the slave traders, which was reward, and merchant capitalists, first of Europe and then of America, and the slaveholders, they required a rationalization and a moral justification for this archaic social institution. And the principles used by capitalists in the struggle against feudalism at that time. Family, realize that this is all connected by family bloodlines. So it's not just a period of time in history. No, this is carried on as a family tradition. 26 families, to be exact. 26 core families. 13 inside Illuminati, Italian and German. And the outside, that's your Rockefellers and Rothschilds and Bundys and DuPont and Kennedys and all these guys. That's the outside. The inside, or Italian, Breakspeare, Rossini, Medici, Gaetano, Borgia, or there's 13 of them. That's how it really works. See, rationalizations, to rationalize this thing, it always becomes openly available when you have very powerful economic interests and need to control the economics of that colony, set up country, whatever it is. And that's how a lot of politicians and preachers, editors and teachers, they earn their living. They control the people by controlling the politicians under the guise of blood oaths, threats, rewards, lust. Preachers they control today by 501c3, National Council of Churches, corrupted schools of theology, which is pretty much most of them, almost all of your schools of theology aren't telling the truth, literally. From Harvard, Yale, Stanford, man, you name it, they're not doing it. Remember, this is a Marxist socialist world. And our government, our education system, has always been controlled by the humanist socialist manifesto. Charles Francis Potter, 1930. Education is the most powerful ally of humanism, and every public American public school is a school of humanism, unquote. 57 years later, Herbert London, educator of New York University, said, and I quote, "The strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar," unquote. And racism is a Marxist method of control. It's been introduced in our schools since the day we had a classroom in this country. Right under our noses. And you'll see that as we get to the Pledge of Allegiance and the Bellamy Salute, the way we were first given the Pledge of Allegiance and started off in the black schools first. Heil Hitler sign was the way we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance. After Hitler made his debut, they put it over the hand over the heart. They had to change it. It's called the Bellamy Salute. They're expecting us to have a new world order in America in 1945. It didn't happen. Now, watch. Here we go. The theory that blacks are inferior followed close in discovery that black slavery was exceptionally profitable. They had to make the blacks look like they're inferior, to put them under bondage, just like the whites were in the 1200, 1300, 1400, 1500 AD, all the way up to 1800 AD. Then the white folks put the black folks under slavery, but coming from the Rothschilds. Look up Willie Lynch and his letter, 1711, 1712, in the Bible Belt, no less. Bible Belt. KKK in the Bible Belt. Freemasonry, worship of Lucifer in the Bible Belt. Slavery in the Bible Belt. Fighting for slavery? You gotta be kidding me. DNA, cultural manipulation. Get rid of the weak, keep the strong. Willie Lynch taught the slave owners of Alabama and Georgia on how to be better slave owners as they go to church the next Sunday. Something wrong with this picture, family. You white folk out there, you got a lot of repenting to do for your family. You better get to repenting right quick. And the blacks out there, you got a lot of forgiving to do. Otherwise, we're going to clash again. Because we're going to make it happen. To bring the blacks into the white man's world, they created Boule Society, Black Freemasons. Jesse Jackson, Sharpton, Brazier, T.D. Jakes, the whole lot of them. Then you got Copeland, Hagee, Joyce Myers, he's a star. Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, they're all Freemasons. They're all the same. Family, do the research. And you'll find the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Unquote. Martin Luther King warned us about being arrogant in his speeches. In his speeches, which I can play you anytime, one of them particularly, it shows he pulled away from the Jesse Jacksons and the Freemasons and the civil rights workers, same thing. They're there to cause, using racism, riots to justify martial law. Order out of chaos. Martin Luther King, he pulled away from it. He wanted to bring peace. Uh-oh. Malcolm X did too. Yeah, buddy. And of course, JFK and Bobby Kennedy want to take down the Illuminati. God works in amazing ways. They had to go undercover again after they murdered four great men. I didn't agree with Malcolm X's politics or religion, but I respect his attitude. I respected his thinking on his own. That's what I look at. So don't get me wrong, I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe in violence, but neither did Malcolm X. They were hoping he did. Like the white folk is going to use the KKK, an Aryan nation, the Black Masons and the Jesuits are going to use the Black Panthers, controlled by the FBI, as the FBI controlled KKK. So FBI controlled both Black Panthers and KKK to make sure they fought each other. Uh-huh. Sure did. Excuse me. Sure do. Now, this theory about this theory of rationalizing this racism is what it's for. Fitted out with a kind of a pseudo-scientific trappings. Biblical quotations to pull people in. Back and forth is truth so evident that only a madman or subversives could doubt or deny it. The influence on the minds of white people was great at all levels of society, as Bretman says, and undoubtedly aided the slaveholders in retarding the abolishing of slavery. But the ensuing class struggles that came as a result of it, fueled by the Jesuits and Freemasons, resulted in destruction of the slave system as designed. You see, Abraham Lincoln, although not a Freemason, was part of the Merovingian bloodline. He was what's considered a racial avatar brought in by the Illuminati for a specific purpose during the days of the Civil War. Many reasons why we had to fight the Civil War. One, to make sure we didn't exceed the fear, greatest fear that the Illuminati had was that we as America to be used as a pit bull dog and debt collector for the Illuminati would not become so strong that we would take over every monarchy. And we could have. If America had worked together, we'd say, wait a minute, we're taking over. They'd have a big problem. So they made sure we fought a civil war. And to prove it, they put the French on the South. Uh-huh. And they put the Germans on the North. Yeah. To make sure we fought. Now, who did that nasty thing? Guess who? The Jesuits. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, about the Civil War, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money, the arms, and the Roman Catholics, arms of the Roman Catholics. Even the arms of France were at their disposal if they would attack us. Unquote. 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chickney, 1885, on page 388. Now you see why they killed Lincoln. He was to then release the blacks into the community. You want freedom? You got it by the Emancipation Proclamation. I have this documented in the Illuminati's own textbook, as they did the same for the white folk with the Declaration of Independence. Same principle as it did with the Magna Carta in 1215, I think it was. Same purpose. That's where we got our Declaration of Independence. Not from men that want to be free and all that. No. It's brought to us by popery. We think Protestantism came from the popery. Order out of chaos. This is the real history. So slavery had to be set up. Because who in Africa is going to come to the North American continent? And they got canoes that's going to go that far. So they brought them here on purpose, forcefully. And blacks brought blacks over here. Whites bought them, abused. But what they did in the background was begin DNA manipulation. That pretty much is equivalent to Adolf Hitler's concentration camps. Willie Lynch taught him extremely cruel, horrific, horrible ways to control their slaves from the 1700s to 1800s. Unimaginable horror and terror. Separating the races, rape, integrating DNA with white and black to make different shades of black, then cause them to divide each other. Bring some to the house, some to the slave. You get one too aggressive, a warlord brought in from Africa that was a loser, but he was proud. What they did to them was unimaginable. And that was to make an example for the others to follow. So the women would protect the children. They'd beat the others to death almost. The men, they would do horrible things to the black man that they had sinned. And then the women would train the children to do what the white man says. So you won't end up like that. Family, you understand our history for real? What really happened? You think yes of God? You're darn right it's not. Hardly. It's not of God. That's what they did in the South. Racism didn't stop the Civil War. They're just freed with the shackles. But racism continued after the Civil War, right up to 1960. And to subjugate the blacks, they made them servants and portrayed them as stupid in movies and stuff like that, because it's still subjugation. But they had a bigger plan to put them in bondage. And at the right time, to lift them up, to now cause conflict. But if anti-black prejudices and ideas arose out of the need to justify and maintain slavery, so then it begs the question, why didn't they wither away after slavery was abolished? Why didn't it just go away, go bye-bye? Well, in the first place, ideas, although they have to reflect a broad material interest before they can achieve a wide circulation. They can live lives of their own once they're set into motion. They can survive for a time after the disappearance of the conditions that produce them. That's why they created and formed the KKK. Nathan Bedford Forrest and Albert Pike. Albert Pike was one unbelievably evil individual. He is a Confederate general who later became a Luciferian, was convinced that the world order was the way to go. He was channeled to set up the plans from 1870s to 1945. They encompassed three world wars in conceptual terms. That's Albert Pike. He also was part of creating the KKK and Christian Identity Cult. You're on the Christian Identity, you better really get with the history and know what you're involved in. What's really going on in the background. This is kind of just generalizing, however, it's not entirely specific. Does not provide the main explanation for the survival of racism after the Civil War. The most amazing thing about the Reconstruction period between 1863 and 1877, that followed the abolition of slavery, the planned Emancipation Proclamation. White folk, it was Declaration of Independence. They always got one. For the Albanians, it's Bale Kamtar. For the Mexicans, it's Aslan. They always got one. For the Serbs, at one time, it was Greater Serbia. The Albanians, Greater Albania. They always got something for you. That's what they do. For German people, those doggone Jews, that started 1885. Nazism for the German people. German people got messed over too by their own. See, they don't care about the citizens. They care about their blood oath to the Lucifer. Hitler, Stalin, Elizabeth II, Churchill. Man, they're second cousins. That's right. But following the construction period of America, the abolition of slavery, which wasn't really abolished, was the speed with which the old ideas and customs started to change and then break up at that time. So in just a few short years, millions of whites began to recover from the racist poisons to which they had been subjected from their birth. To regard blacks as equals, to work together with them agreeably under protection of federal government, solution of joint problems, to obliterate racism was started in the Social Revolution of War. The Social Revolution that we know by the name of Reconstruction. You know, it might have been completed, according to Bretman, if Reconstruction had been permitted to develop even further. But finally, they're in control of it. They stopped Reconstruction so we would not be able to get together and work together. You want to keep a distance. In the South, they set up, when you really think about it, man, I know I'd be in jail probably back then if I lived there. Man, you have blacks sitting in one corner, blacks going back in the bus, making a big deal out of it. No, you can't sit here. You're going back there, that'd be in the back of the bus. I'm like, what? I'd go, what? What are you talking about? And the blacks sitting in that corner, man, I wouldn't eat that stupid restaurant ever again. It makes you just want to, after a while, it's like, who do they think they are? You just go down and tear the stupid sign down. Man, they can sit where the heck they want to sit. You white folk don't like it, just get your butt out. That's not how it worked, though. Everybody just followed in line. Boy, you ain't supposed to sit here. You're supposed to sit over yonder. Then you come up with dehumanizing names. I hate that N-word, man. I hate that N-word. Then you got crackers, white bread. You know, in a hometown that I lived, West Jefferson, North Carolina, and I've got the map, right? I got a 1963 map, one of those plastic kind of 3D dimensional type. It's hard to find those things. But I got one. And on that map, it has the real original name of a mountain in in West Jefferson, North Carolina, as my hometown. West Jefferson, North Carolina. I didn't see my first black person until I was about 14 years old. I left West Jefferson and came to Mount Airy. Man, this place is way up in the mountains. Well, there's a mountain up there. Now, today, they call it Mount Jefferson. But not 1963. In 1963, officially, that mountain on topographical maps is the N-word mountain, N-I-G-G-E-R mountain. Can you believe it? So after 63, 65, 66, 67, like that, they changed his name to Mount Jefferson. Isn't that crazy or what? So who kept the Reconstruction going? Who kept this thing going? Reconstruction was stopped. If it had been continued, we'd have got together. We'd have worked it out. But Reconstruction was strangled in the 1870s by the Illuminati, by the capitalists, by the Jesuits. Acting in alliance with the former slaveholders, northern folks came down. "You guys, we down here, boys. We're going to help you southern boys." No exploiting class slightly discards weapons that can help maintain the rule. Racism had already demonstrated its potency as a force to divide, disrupt, disorient oppressed classes in a society that exploits the people. They vacillated, had internal struggles, lasted throughout the Reconstruction. The high-level Illuminati, Freemason class, the capitalist class, they decided in their movements, organizations, and committees, they could make use of racial oppression for its own purposes. They adopted racism, nursed it, fed it, gave it new clothes, brought within it a vigor and an influence that had never been commanded before. To keep us all at odds with each other. It worked. See, racism today operates in a different social setting. So it's a somewhat different form than it is a century ago. But it was retained into slavery for essentially the same reason as introduced on the slave system, which developed from the 16th century on. Never stopped. Just morphed. It's used very conveniently as a method of exploiting the people. It will not be abandoned by the ruling class. It'll be used in one way or another. In America, man, just pick which direction you want to go. Other countries, they had to make it happen in different ways. They had to bring Arabs all the way from Saudi Arabia to Sweden to make it happen. You see? They destroyed Detroit, Michigan 20, 30 years ago for the strict purpose of setting up a safe haven for Islamic fundamentalists. They'll start building it back up again. Watch. To bring all the aliens possible into America. This was supported by a quote by FDR in March of 4th, 1939. Quote, part of it. "To infest America with all the aliens possible." Unquote. That's what he had to do. It goes back before that, even. That was a quote. He knew about it. It's passed down to him. He's Illuminati, Freemason FDR was. But you know what? Since 1789, you white folk have been slaves ever since, and you didn't even know it. Under a debt slave system of 70 years, and you didn't even know it. They've been keeping it secret from us white folk all along. Now they're starting to bring it out to let you know you live in a tyrannical government. Income tax. Fight for freedom. It's coming up again. It works every single time. But why do we speak of the introduction of racism in the slave system? Why is it connected? The spread coincides with the birth of capitalism, does it? Wasn't there slavery long time before capitalism? Didn't racism exist in the earliest slave societies, especially in Africa? So why is racism connected to a capitalist phenomena? Capitalism, which is a social system that followed and replaced feudalism, was replaced by capitalism. There's your isms. Owed it to the rise to world dominance, to its revival of expansion of forms that exploited originally the pre-feudal safe slave societies. This is very complex of how they set this up. Early capitalists get together. They got together and formed up through what's called a chief moment of primitive accumulation. In comes Karl Marx, who plagiarized the Communist Manifesto. Plagiarized it. He didn't write it. He plagiarized it from Clinton Roosevelt. Clinton Roosevelt had a document called The Science of Government, founded on natural law, 1841. Plagiarized that from Adam Weishaupt, who designed the World Revolutionary Movement, May the 1st, 1776. So discovery of gold and silver in America, oil, all that, enslavement, entombment in mines of the aboriginal population, the beginning of the conquest and looting of the East Indies by the Rothschilds, the turning of Africa into by Rhodes and all those for commercial hunting of black skins and diamonds. The African slave trade, though, slavery produced fortunes that laid the foundations of the most important of the early industries of capitalism. It began to revolutionize the economy of the whole world as planned. You control the money, you control the people. All this would be kept secret. That's why they have blood oaths, by the way. It's not just a mere repetition of slavery of ancient times. This one's different. And one basic economic difference is that a slave system in America produced commodities for the world capitalist market. They used us as their cash cow. So it's subordinate to and dependent on that market. Other differences as well. There's a lady called Ina Corrine Brown, Social Economic Approach to Educational Problems, 1942. She wrote about the ancient Egyptians, I quote, Miss Brown, 1942, begin quote, "So many persons assume that racial entropy is a natural or instinctive reaction that it's so important to emphasize the fact that racism, such as we know, did not exist before the modern age. To be sure, there's a group antithesis which those who read history backwards take to be racism. But actually, this antipathy had little or nothing to do with color or the other physical differences by which races are distinguished. For example, the ancient Egyptians looked down upon the blacks to the south of them. They enslaved these blacks and spoke scornfully of them. Satan's always got to find a way to subjugate the masses, to get control of them. Now, I will tell you, we'll probably go into more detail about racism tomorrow, because I see that this needs to be covered. And I'll go in part the rest of later tomorrow in more detail. But antipathy was used for these purposes. And you know that many writers, later reading racial attitudes and situation, had seen in this scorn color prejudice. But the Egyptians were more scornful of the Azistic sand dwellers, troglodytes, as Herodotus called them, of their own neighbors, who were light or lighter than the Egyptians. The Egyptians mixed freely with their southern neighbors, either in slavery or out of it, is evidenced by the fact that some of the pharaohs were obviously black, and eventually Egypt was ruled by the Ethiopian dynasty. The pharaohs were also hybrids. Hybrids of fallen angels. And a lot of pharaohs migrated to Europe. Do the math on that one. Yeah. That's where you have different DNA. The fallen angels and mankind through the pharaoh's bloodline, which gave rise to the blue bloodlines today that are kings and queens, came out of Egypt. Those who claim to be Jews but are not Jews, the synagogue of Satan. Ho ho. On the Greeks, the slave population was enormous, but the slave and the master in Greece were commonly of the same race, and there's no occasion to associate a given physical type with their slave status. And an opponent of the Athenian democracy complained that it was impossible in Athens to distinguish slaves and aliens from citizens because all classes dressed alike and lived in the same way, unquote. Is that not what they want to do today? Brock Chisholm confirms that. Combine all the races to have no more conflict, but under the control of the Illuminati, causing the races to fight each other and combine themselves. They've already done that. October 2013, National Geographic, Changing Face of America. They have accomplished combining all the races into one DNA. Now, to eradicate all the other pure races, I mean all of them. So now you'll have no more racial differences. They'll all be combined into one. That way they'll have no reason to fight each other, and they'll have their alleged New World Order with harmony. But it's not going to work out that way. On the Romans, in Rome as in Greece, the slaves did not differ in outward appearance from free men. R.H. Barrow, in his study on the Roman slaves, said that neither color nor clothing revealed the condition. Slaves of different nationalities intermarried. There is no color barrier. A woman might be despised as a wife because she came from a despised group or because she practiced barbaric rites, but did not because her skin were darker. Furthermore, W.W. Buckland pointed out, quote, any citizen might conceivably become a slave almost any slave might become a citizen. That's what happened in the South, Emancipation Proclamation. The blacks fought World War I, World War II, bravely, strong. Oh, this is not brought up. They're trying to bring it up now to raise everybody up equal. So that way, you'll have the riots. The racism will be pronounced. And then we'll establish a clampdown, which will bring order by consent. This is how complicated it's become. You could quote the same for about every society. Some of them is different in one way or another. That's why the Jesuits go into the societies of different cultures, study them, live with them, eat with them, work with them. They go back to the Vatican, sit around a round table or whatever they're going to sit around, and discuss how the next 20 years they're going to take them apart and control them. That's how they do it. That's what happened in Saudi Arabia. That's exactly what happened. The Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. And once Islam was flourishing, they even funded Islam in about the 9th or 10th century to invade northern Africa. The Vatican funded it fully, under certain agreement that they would take Jerusalem and give it to the Vatican. They would kill Christians and Jews. And they would protect Roman Catholics and monks. That was agreement. They funded the invasion of northern Africa. They succeeded greatly. They continued on to Jerusalem. Also succeeded. But a problem developed. One that they were afraid of, that the Americans would do in the 1960s. 1860s later. What happened back then was the Arabs that they had funded decided to want to come to Europe and continue on with their winning streak. And the Pope said, oh, no, it's not part of the game. And the Arab said, king said, hey, yeah, we're going to do it anyway. That's what started the Crusades. So the Vatican had to put out the fire they started. They want to make sure America didn't come the same way, that we didn't come together and take over the monarchies. Civil war. Financial control. Freemasons on their side. The globalists created Wahhabi terrorism to destroy Islam and to justify global state. The Vatican created Zionism to destroy the Jews by liquidating their wealth. This is how they do it. When are y'all going to learn? The same general principle and picture is true of all the societies that we're talking about. Slave and non-slave, from the Roman Empire right down to discovery of America. And the barbarian invasions into Europe led to the enslavement of whites in the reign of the Muslims in the era of political domination of the Catholic Church. There are divisions, discriminations, antagonizing of class, culture, political, religious characters. But none along the race or color lines at a certain time. At least none that left any serious trace of the historical materials that's available today. As late as the middle of the 15th century, West African slave trade to Portugal first began. So the rationalizing for the enslavement of blacks was not that they were black, but that they were not Christian. Oh, this is very important. Those who became Christian were freed, intermarried with the Portuguese, were accepted as equal in Portugal. Afterward, of course, when the slave trade became big business, the readiness of a slave to convert to Christianity no longer sufficed to gain their emancipation and their freedom. I will tell you, that the blacks developed a faith strong in the Christian religion, strong in Jesus. Stronger than the white churches by far, I'll tell you, no doubt. They lead today in the spiritual truth, not the healing Benny Hinn special or Joel Osteen white smiley face, none of that nonsense. Those are Tony Robbins on the pulpit. Hagee still supports the Star of David, which is a cult sign, hexagram. When's somebody going to teach that boy something? Ed Hagee better learn something, unless he's already gone. Oh, absolutely. No question about that. Him and Mark Blitz, too. Four blood moons, my butt. There's no such thing as four blood moons in the Bible. It's not there. The blacks in the church, you ever been to them? Man, they are spirit-filled. And they're teaching about the Illuminati in these churches. They're teaching them how Satan's really operating. They're teaching them about the rock and roll music. They're covering details that the white churches aren't touching with a 10-foot pole. And I can say that. I've been to both sides. And why? Because the blacks were enslaved, developed a spiritual faith, and stayed with it. That's why. So why did racism develop in the capitalist era when it didn't under the earlier slave systems? So without faking, we have in a way exhausted the subject at all. That's why I'm going to talk about it tomorrow again. Why did racism develop in the capitalist areas? Well, in previous times, the slaves were usually in the same color as their masters. Both whites and blacks were masters and slaves. And in the European countries, the blacks formed a minority of the slave population. The connotations of slavery were attached to all slaves, white and black. Black inferiority occurred to everyone. Anyone. It seemed ridiculous in the face of it, at one rate. Slavery was not confined to blacks at the beginning. Before the black slave on the plantations, there was the Indian slave, white indentured servant. But see, the black slave labor was more plentiful than either of these, and eventually they were abandoned. And you'll find in Capitalist and Slavery, 1944, Eric Williams. That book's been suggested. And there lies the origin of black slavery. The reason was economic, not racial. Religious, not racial. It had to do not with the color of this labor, but the cheapness of the labor. Do you not have children as laborers in certain countries? Yeah. The colonies needed labor. Resort to black labor. It's available. Slaveholders would have gone to the moon if necessary for labor. Africa was nearer than the moon. Nearer too than the more populous countries of India and China. But their turn was yet to come. In slaughtering millions. So slavery in America became confined exclusive to blacks. So speaking from that context, it was absolutely inevitable that the theory of black inferiority to keep them down for that period of time, that this should be used and created. They should be extended to non-white people who offered the possibility to be exploited, that they would be spread around the globe. Now tomorrow, I'm going to cover more detail about this. I imagine it's very controversial. But then again, what else is new? And I'll have a full 2 hours. Sorry I was late today. But I had to go out of town. Just barely made it. Tomorrow, full 2 hours. And if I have to, I'll go into Friday. Friday, I want to talk about rape and the truth about rape, about 30 minutes worth. Break that open. The Princeton mom then lost her marbles. That acquaintance rape, day rape, whatever, is a learning experience. I got news for her. Well, Friday I won't talk about that. But I'll continue on with this discussion we got today. And because it's now coming up, to say the very least. And don't you know, at the same time it's coming up, they produce a movie called Selma. Family, that in itself right there proves. How long do you think it takes to make a movie? A year? Family, they set this thing up a long time ago. Ferguson, Brown, Bundy Ranch, all this to cause chaos. And this movie just comes out of Selma just at the right time. And now it's some of the songs they play in the movie, or at least the introduction on the trailer, talk about Ferguson already. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that convenient? Family, this is proof that this thing at Ferguson has been set up. Let no crisis go to waste. That's what they've done. They play their little games for a while. But the black folk, they're Freemasons. What are you doing? Don't you know they're going to throw you under the bus? Freemasons themselves are going to get thrown under the bus. White boys? White boy club? They're done. They're goners. As soon as the Great White Brotherhood. So what do you think is going to happen to you? At the highest level, they will never let you succeed. They created the Boulay Society to control you. So you control the black folk. White folks already cooked. Other goose is cooked already with Freemasons throughout the United States. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, and they got them all divided up into secret societies, witchcraft and everything else. They're cooked. Martin Luther King saw this. He pulled away. All the civil rights workers, mind their own business. He says it in the quote. That's their business. But he separated himself from them. Because he wanted people to come together. He realized what was going on. That's why the Pentagon and the Jesuits assassinated Martin Luther King. Family, tomorrow, I will continue on. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. And let y'all know that we're played randomly on his broadcast, his network, John Kirkler, highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net. He's got some sponsors up there, and he likes to play us our broadcast, my Bible studies, randomly in his network. We appreciate it. I do. My website is Watcher for Jesus. And my website is watchmanforjesus.com. So I'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study, or tomorrow at 4 to 6. We will continue on this discussion. And I'll give you some details about how far back this really goes and what racism is doing to this country and how they're using it as a club to bring in the New World Order and the North American continent, which is the North American Union. Oh, they're sneaky. Very sneaky indeed. That's the ultimate goal. Establish a dictatorship by consent. Martial law administered by the United Nations. That's already here. All they need is the right instant to bring them out of their hiding in the deep underground military bases. See y'all tomorrow. Have a good night. God bless. This is your Watchman, signing off. He's alive.
in Jesus. I am with you every day to the end.